All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase McCabe off today, Dr. Crane in studio, Brando behind the board. Fun show for you today, 1:30. Ryan O'Reilly from the Nashville Predators will join the show, and you'll hear how Chase just took over the conversation. It's just crazy, right? Should we say something about this, how he hogged the interview?
Nah, I don't think so. He does a really good job with it.
He does. All right, it's Super Bowl week, so I love this, what we got going on right now. So in 2000, I think, 14 season, New England won the Super Bowl. They beat Seattle out in Phoenix. What a great game. Now we got the starting center from that game and one of the best Super Bowls ever. Brian Stork is on the phone with us this morning. Brian, good morning or good afternoon. Thanks for doing this. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, riders of the mail. How y'all doing?
We're doing fantastic. I got to think, when you found out or when you realized the Patriots were playing the Seahawks in this year's Super Bowl, a lot of deja vu for you, wasn't it?
Well, it's cool, but it's also like a new era for them, so it's fun to – I was always rooting for them no matter what, but it's cool to see somebody else do it and get in there and get it done, and with the whole crew of new guys, so really happy for them.
Yeah, and they spin it around. Here they are again. What do you remember most about that Super Bowl game? You were the starting center. You guys rallied. You won in the second half. You know, you had the great play, Malcolm Butler. But what stood out to you in that moment of the entire game of that Super Bowl for you?
I mean, there are so many things, so many great memories. But I'd probably say the first play of the game when we were coming out there, and you're like, oh, well, worked a whole lot to get here. Better make the best of it. And then I looked down at the grass, and like right before the ball snapped, I was like, that shit's painted. I'll be damned. And then after you get your first hit out of the way, you're like, all right, just playing football, just like it was in high school, just in like it was in college or, you know, even little league. Just go do your thing, do your job.
But, yeah.
Obviously, so many ups and downs of that game. And just kind of, it was like hold on to your ass kind of night, but just fight your ass off. And every play counted.
And you win the Super Bowl. What was the realization? Where were you when Russell Wilson threw the pass to Malcolm Butler, and you realized then, Brian, that you were going to win a Super Bowl?
I think I was kind of near the O-line bench, but just kind of standing up and watching it. I couldn't believe what happened, but I didn't really know what happened at first. And I remember I thought Patrick Chung, for whatever reason, got it. So I went to him. I was like, you just made history. And I just realized, wait, no, Malcolm did that. And so it was kind of hard to see. But I just remember thinking, damn, they're in shotgun. And that's kind of weird. And all of a sudden, they bounced the back over and sent him out. And they ended up passing it. And the rest was history. But, yeah, it was really cool. I was like, this is definitely life-changing. But immediately after, I was like, I just want another one, you know. And but it was a great memory.
Brian Stork's on the line with us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Brian, you had a lot of quick success. You go from Florida State winning the national title in 2013, then end up winning the Super Bowl with the New England Patriots. What did you learn from being coached under Jimbo Fisher over to Bill Belichick in the NFL?
I mean, a lot of things, obviously, you know, it's a chess game and schematics and stuff, you know, the situation stuff, and both great coaches. Jimbo stayed in that ass, and so did Bill. But, you know, two different backgrounds there. And I definitely learned a lot of football, though, from all of them.
Looking at those coaches and comparing them now to a guy like Mike Vrabel, what I guess, do you see from the football lens of the television watching the Patriots play week in and week out that you like from that perspective as a player?
It's just cool to see the guys, you know, run up to him after the game and love him up and, you know, say good job. And, you know, I remember getting the handshakes after the game. That was always cool. But, you know, just to see him, it's just, you know, you can tell there's a genuine love for his players. I'm not saying there wasn't a different kind of – it was kind of just different era. It's a different era of football now where coaches, you got to let them know that you love them. And it was really cool to see.
Yeah, you know, that year when you went to the Super Bowl and won it all with the Patriots, what was that week leading up to that game like for you? Did you have butterflies at all that entire week, or did it just kind of hit you right before kickoff?
I just wanted to make sure I didn't let the older guys down because I knew they had been there before. So I was just trying to bust my ass and be on my P's and Q's and just make sure I was ready to go and do my job because, I, you know, it was like the year before I was a part of a championship team, and all we did was just individually take care of our circle and get our job done for the next guy, you know, for the guy next to us. And it was the same thing there. And it was quite a fun thing to be a part of. And I just remember trying not to get too worked up, I remember trying going to bed the night before, and it was kind of tough. But I just opened up the door because we were out in the desert. And I just listened to all the noises out there from the desert and just fell asleep, trying to enjoy it and just be in the moment, be where my feet are, and not let the moment be too big, especially as a rookie.
Oh, that's awesome. Brian Stork's on the phone with us. He was a starting center when the Patriots beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl back in February of 2015. So, Brian, let me tell you this. My co-host Nick and I, we played football, and one of the things we always talk about is I miss the huddle, right? I miss being in the huddle because you tell jokes, you're in the moment, you're with your brothers out there. What was it like being in the huddle with Gronk and Brady and Edelman and all the guys that are so kind of iconic, and you're a part of that? What was all that like?
You didn't really realize it in the moment, but you're just, you know, just like them, trying to be really good and just trying to do your part. And those guys did their parts for a very long time. They're damn good human beings, and really awesome to see them do what they're doing now. And you just try not to get caught up in that because you got to do your job, and it's time to go make history. And you know, that dream you wanted as a little kid, just like everybody else around you wants that dream, and you better go get it.
What was it like, though, you know, you spent a lot of time with Tom Brady. I mean, you're snapping a football to him. I mean, that's historic. I mean, you get to win a Super Bowl, snap to Brady, win everything. What was it like being with Brady?
Yeah, it was an honor, obviously, because you knew he was one of the best, and if not the best, right? I think he is the best, all said and done. But I just remember the first day getting to know him, he just took that towel and shoved it right down my pants, said, "This is how you're going to snap for the rest of your career." And everybody's been gotten by it. And I'm like, man, this guy just shoving his hands down in my sweaty ass already. But it is what it is. And he had his ways, and there's a reason why he had his ways. And you learned a lot from watching him, the way he conducted himself, the way he took care of his body, how much time and, you know, whatever he can invest in himself, he did. And it was truly, I get to tell, you know, if I have grandkids someday, I get to tell them about that.
Heck
and,
yeah, you do.
It's really cool.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I watched the game this past weekend. It's a hell of a game, but I think people forget when you guys got the ball back at the 1 yard line, there was still time left. You guys had to do a kneel down, and then a big brawl happened. And I was watching you. I mean, you had to snap the ball, maintain composure. That was a chaotic ending on that Super Bowl.
So, funny story behind that. We did the first head bob, and then the next time. The next snap or whatever, he's like, all right, you know, whatever the time was before the triple head bob, and there was a timeout or something, and Bill and Tom both came up to me somehow on the side or whatever. They said, don't fuck this up, and we're going to go triple head bob. So did a triple head bob, and then he jumped, and then that brawl broke out, and I just remember standing next to Tom because I didn't want nobody to hurt him, obviously. And
right.
I think a lot of guys were already back there taking care of business. And it was a really cool thing to see. And then we finally got him. And it was exciting stuff. Great memory.
I think it's great. What are you doing now, buddy? I know you're living up in Johnson City, and I saw some of your woodworking. What are you doing now?
So I live in Elizabeth in Tennessee. And then my daughter's up here, so I ain't going nowhere. But, man, I've done a lot of different things, from laying wood floor to, I worked at Lowe's for a little while, and then I started working in my shop down in my garage below my cabin, and basically just started making wood signs and out of a laser engraver, and then obviously on my own with a plunge router, and then I stain them, I finish them, and basically I started putting football plays onto pieces of wood.
Nice.
So it's basically an art piece, you know, because I was sitting there drawing scout cards one day.
Yeah.
As a coach, I was like, man, if I could just make money with all these scout cards I draw, that'd be awesome. And then one day it just hit me because I started doing it on canvases before that, selling the last play of the national championship. It's basically R-Tide Joe Max 246 Max Z post. And it's just a quick slant that KB caught on there. But I started doing that on canvas, and it took off to wood. And ever since then, I've been just trying to maybe put it on furniture or whatever I can put it on, I'm going to put it on. So it's been a lot of fun. And I've just been exploring, you know, with making woodwork and combining art and combining football as well. So it's been quite the learning curve, too.
Brian, I love to hear that. I'm also somewhat of a woodworker, just freelance-wise. I love the idea of putting a play onto, you know, some form of wood, whether it's cedar or oak, whatever it may be, because then you can put that into some form of a table, put, like you said, your artwork, and then put a clear epoxy and just let that thing harden, and it'd be a beautiful art piece or, honestly, a coffee table of some sorts. But I'd love to hear that, man. That is a really cool thing you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. And they make it look easy on the YouTubes and the quick reels and stuff, but it ain't, man. You got to make sure none of the bubbles pop up in there. You got to make sure there's no damn dust. You got to be on top of that constantly.
Exactly. You got to have your handy blowtorch ready to go.
I have to shave my beard sometimes.
There you go.
I have to shave my beard so I don't, you know, drop any hair in it.
That's awesome. Hey, Brian, this has been great, man. I appreciate your time. I'm glad things are doing well. It's fun to talk to you about the experience you went through and everything, man. Really appreciate it. I'll tell Coach Losey you said hi, and keep doing the good work, my man.
Appreciate you guys. Hope you all have fun.
All right, absolutely. Thanks, Brian Stork with the starting center on the
Super Bowl winning New England Patriots.
Super Bowl winning New England Patriots.
That's a nice ring to it.
I'm not sure he knew he was on radio.
Oh, yes, he did. Absolutely.
But that was good, man. That was a good time with Brian Stork. Got you on the woodworking part, huh, there, Dr. Crane?
Got me attached to that. I mean, look, when you're able to put your form of your own artwork onto the art piece there, might as well. And he's honestly right. You got to make sure there's no dust in the area.
Right.
Make sure you're doing it in a clean environment, because if those dust particles do get inside the clear epoxy.
Yeah, you'll sneeze, right?
Well, you'll sneeze, but the clear epoxy doesn't set right. You'll have little bubbles and little like crevices on top of the clear epoxy. So that's why I mentioned have a handy blowtorch, because when you do that, you can get rid of the bubbles and it'll be nice and clear.
What about
then you buff it and all that.
What about washing your mouth out with soap? Would that work too?
That would work too.
Brando ran a 4.2 back to the dump button.
Maybe a 3.9. Maybe a 3.9.
Brando, you should get – you and David James are now co-employees of the month.
When you mentioned that question, Joe, about the end of the game, I was like, I know where this is going. I told him in the preview, make sure you run for the dump.
So. You looked at me like – and you tilted your head. I'm like, oh, yeah, we all know. That was fun, though, man. Okay, all right, we'll take a break. Come back. This is the Chasing Big Joe Show, brought to you by the great Omni Nashville Hotel.
For today.
Right here on 102.5 The Game.